Let me just take a minute to catch you up with the story of Church by the Bridge, Overseas Council and Peter, and then I'm going to interview him and give you a sense of what a great guy he is and what a great work he's doing for the Lord in the country of Burma, also known as Myanmar. Church by the Bridge has a number of mission partners looking at ministry overseas, and we're very grateful that Overseas Council, the organisation that I head up, is one of those. And we've been working at that relationship for about a year and a half, I think, now. And what we like to do is to link each church that links with us to a particular Bible college around the world. Our strategy is to pick the best Bible college in each country and then help it become better still. So we're currently working in 60 countries around the world and over 100 Bible colleges. And our strategy is if you pick the best one, make it better, then that will have an impact on other Bible colleges in that country, because that's where their faculty are trained. So it has an impact there, and then that has an impact on the whole church and therefore on the whole nation, as the gospel does its wonderful yeast-like work throughout a country. So that's the strategy, and I'm delighted. I've been 6 years in this ministry, and I've seen in a number of places the incredible difference that strategic investment in a good college can make, just in 3 or 4 or 5 years. And I've seen that in many, many colleges. And so what we've done in this particular case is linked up Church by the Bridge to a college in Burma, in Myanmar. The college is called the Myanmar Evangelical Graduate School of Theology. Peter is one of the faculty members. If you were here in the right service last year, the principal of the college, a guy called Dr. Ong Mung, came and spoke. But Peter is one of the key members of the faculty. He's currently doing his PhD in India at a very fine college we also support. So he's coming to the end of that. And so what your funding has done has been part of the provision for his doctoral studies. It's incredibly cheap to fund people in this kind of way rather than bring them to Australia or America or somewhere. And so it's just a great way to invest in the kingdom. But let me introduce Peter now and ask a few questions, and you'll get a sense of the value of the ministry that he's been involved in. Peter, you were born a Buddhist.
Yep.
And, well, first of all, welcome to Australia. He's been here only 2 days. It was incredibly difficult to get a visa, but he's here and we're thrilled. Welcome here, and tell us a little bit about why you became a Buddhist monk.
And I became a Buddhist monk because when I was a high school student, and I was born in the Buddhist family, and then even when I was a high school student, I stayed in the monastery. And when I saw the life of Buddhist monks, I was very impressed, and I saw that their life is very peaceful. And after high school, I decided to be a monk.
Okay. Overseas Council doesn't normally support Buddhist monks. Can I just put that in at this point? Peter, how is it you became a Christian?
And I hate the Christian, that's why I become Christian. Because I come from the island, from the Arakan State. Arakan State is the part, western part of Burma. And there, I've never seen any kind of Christian on my island because of all the Buddhists. But after high school, at the age of 20, I became a monk. And then I was in Yangon. That times, so, and then I thought this is the first time to see the Christian churches. So near our monastery, there are 2 churches. As Dr. Amman said in your church, there are 2 churches, and Joy to the World Church and Silent Night Church. I will explain it later on. And then for the Buddhist monk, for us, like you play music, it is sin for us. For the Buddhist monk, listening to the music is sin for us. And then Christian young people like you, and they are preaching, they are worshiping with the music, and then I thought these guys are fighting us. And then finally, I went to the church to fight a pastor. And then, but the story was different. When I met the pastor, and I discussed with him, and very often, and after 6 months, I came to know that I was, even though I was a Buddhist monk, and I realized that I was a sinner. I need a savior, and who is the savior? And finally, I know that Jesus is my savior, and of course, I accepted him as my Lord and Savior in November 1990. Yeah.
Yeah, and it wasn't long after that you went into Bible college and then became a pastor. Can you tell us a little bit about leading a church then, having been a Buddhist monk and then become a pastor?
When I realized that Jesus is my Savior, and then accepted Him, and then I realized that I have a burning desire to preach the gospel to the Buddhists, because Sometimes I blame Jesus, I blame God because why don't you let me know you in the early age of only I know you only at the age of 21. So but I have a great desire and abundant desire to share the gospel to the Buddhists. I went to the Bible college first after 50 days. After 50 days I went to the Bible college, and then all the time whenever I had a free time I went out and preach the gospel, and distribute the tracts, and preach the gospel, and bring them to the church. And then, after 4 years, and I finished my BA in theology, and I had a great desire to start the church. And of course, in 1995, I started a small church with 4 persons among the Buddhist community in Yangon. But the Lord has been gracious to churches growing up now.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And give us a bit of an idea of why there are so few people who are actually Buddhist become Christian. Because there's a lot of Christians in the country, but they're from a different region, the northern region, rather than where most of the Buddhists are. Is that right?
Yeah. There is that I will be talking more about this on Monday. But to make it short, and the Buddhist peoples, they are proud of being the Buddhist. The Burmese people, they are proud of being Buddhist, and they have their philosophy is very solidity. So they said to be a Buddhist is to be Burmese. And to be Burmese, that means to be Buddhist. That means if you become a Christian, that means you are not recognized as the Burmese.
Yeah.
So and that's one kind of reason. So another thing is that as they become the traditional Buddhists, it's very hard for them to change their religion and to accept Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior. Another possibility is that because in Burma we have, according to the government, Christian percentage is only 5. Mm-hmm. But according to one person who wrote recently an article, 9.1% of the population are the Christians. But 95% of the Christians come from the minority ethnic groups. The Burmese Buddhists are the majority, and so they have dominant spirit, and when the minority preach the gospel, for them this is strange for them. And then we have a Buddhism that said earlier than came to Burma. You Christian came only 200 years ago, and it's so these kind of the reasons becomes one kind of barrier to accept the gospel.
One of the things that makes Peter's role in the college so significant is because he has this Buddhist mindset that he understands. And most of the pastors have a long tradition of Christianity, a couple of 100 years of successful missions. But they are from a different group and don't understand the Buddhists so well. So maybe you could give us an idea of the sorts of things that you teach your students so they understand more the Buddhist mindset, and then encourage them to share the gospel with Buddhists rather than just staying within their own groups.
To my knowledge, and even in my one part of my research, and to communicate the gospel, that we need to know the 4 principles of the communication. First, where is our audience? Now, who is my audience first? Are the Australian or are the Italian or the Burmese? And the second is, where is my audience? And if you are the Burmese, I will be speaking in Burmese, but as you are the English speaking, I have to speak in English. So where is my audience? What are their needs? The third is, what are their needs? And the needs of audience, and how to meet the needs of our audience. So when I teach the students at the seminary, I'm the only one lecturer coming from Buddhist background teaching at the seminary, that I'm the only one who was a Buddhist monk, and so now I'm a Christian monk. So when I teach my students, how would you penetrate the gospel into the Burmese mindset, because they have a different mindset and their worldview is different. So and all the time I encourage my students, go into their life and try to understand them and preach the gospel relevantly so that they will understand the gospel is for all. Mm. That Christianity is not the Western religion, it's only for everybody. So,
part of Peter's PhD work is to try and help think through some of these issues. And so by contributing to his study, we'll make an enormous difference to helping the college upskill in what is such a critical area, so that all the pastors will be thinking in terms of how Buddhists need to have communication of the gospel and not just for them to stay in their own little group. So it's a really key ministry that you're involved in. Peter's got one more year of his doctoral work. He's written a number of chapters already, which is terrific, and he's got a little bit more to do. And then he'll return early next year back to Burma, and he'll take up full-time lecturing. He's one of the first who have been sent by the college to get a PhD, but the strategy that we have is to identify a number of the faculty members and send them for PhDs so that then they can begin a master's program, a Master of Theology, in Burma, which will be the only one in the whole country. So it's a whole strategy that we're involved in, and the particular link-up that you've got in supporting Peter is really a key part of that. So do think of him, do pray for him, and we are hoping that a number of people from this church will come and visit the college in Yangon. We're hoping we can get a visa back from India for Peter to be there in July. But there'll certainly be a group I'll be leading first week and a half or so of July. And I've got little brochures, more information about our organisation and about the college in Burma, and also a little brochure about our connection tour. And I'm going to just finish up there and leave Nikki to give you a few more details. Thanks.